The gubernatorial candidates begin their final sprint to Election Day today. Governor Patrick kicks off a 20-stop bus tour this morning in Brockton. Republican Charlie Baker has a similar barnstorming tour planned, but his schedule isn't public yet. To get a sense of what to expect in this last push, we turn this morning to our regular political team, analyst Democrat Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
And Republican Todd Dobke. Good morning to you, Todd.
Good morning.
Let's start with a bus tours across the state. What's the goal? To sway the few remaining undecided voters or rally the people who've already made up their minds, Dan?
Well, I think it's a signal to millions of TV viewers across the state that it will soon be safe to watch TV without having to put up with dark, nasty, frivolous TV commercials. The bus tours are done to create the illusion of momentum, mostly to make the candidate and the campaign workers feel like they're doing something productive. It's a throwback. I mean, it's like the circus coming to town. It's a Norman Rockwell moment where we have a simpler time and people love their country and democracy. Usually in politics, you begin your campaign with your base and you end your campaign by going back to your base. In Tim Cahill's case, if he did a statewide bus tour, he'd start in Quincy and end in Quincy.
Todd Dobke.
Well, Dan's right. The unspoken message of the bus tour is get on the bandwagon, feel the excitement, go with the winner. And that's why campaigns create a bus tour, a car caravan, a whistle-stop train kind of campaign in the final days. It's no accident that the visual is a vehicle. They want to project the idea that they're moving forward, making progress, attracting more support. You don't want news coverage of a candidate standing still behind a podium going nowhere. And the other reason is they want to keep the candidate busy, saying safe, scripted lines. They don't want him to go off message. They don't want to blow it at the end with a gaffe.
The undecided, polls suggest the undecided this time around could be somewhere between 5 and 8%. What will make them decide in the final few days or the final few hours or the minutes when they're in the election booth itself?
Well, sometimes they want to see if they learn something that reveals which candidate is the lesser of two evils. But I think in this case, it's which one is better. They're both smart, capable candidates. Some are undecided because they're conflicted. They might be conservative Democrats, so they're torn between ideology and party, or liberal Republicans, or anti-political party independents who don't want to throw away their vote on someone who can't win. So they're torn between policy and personality and may be affected by polls and news at the end. And sometimes they decide by not deciding. They just don't vote.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but most undecided voters won't go to the polls. Late deciders are the least interested voters out there. To them, making a decision about a candidate is a little like deciding what kind of chewing gum you want to buy. It matters for a little while, but if you don't like it, you get rid of it.
Let me ask about the latest poll in the governor's race. The Suffolk University Channel 7 poll just out last night shows almost no movement. Governor Patrick still ahead of Charlie Baker by 7 points, 46% to 39%. Well, why are these polls stuck, Todd?
Well, I think it's partly the lack of progress by the Baker campaign and also the inability of the Deval campaign to, fully sell a majority of people. So it is a little surprising, obviously, when it doesn't change at all in the final weeks. But we've seen some blunders by the Baker campaign, and we just haven't seen a galvanizing message from Patrick. So even though there's this great anti-incumbent feeling out there, Baker's campaign hasn't been able to capitalize on it, and so now Patrick's in the position of hoping that their get-out-the-vote operation pulls it out for them.
Well, this is an indictment of Baker because he's the one who has to be moving. In a four-person race, Deval getting 46 points is a pretty strong showing. But let's look back just a couple of weeks or a few weeks. Baker's had Lascoco Gate. He went out and campaigned for Jeff Perry on the Cape, and then he had the Big Dig memo come out. So he's been fighting through a lot of negative stories, and it doesn't surprise me that he just hasn't been getting any traction with voters.
That's right.
Let me ask about the independent Tim Cahill, who polls 9% in this new Suffolk University Channel 7 poll. He said yesterday, if he's able to turn the support he hears on the campaign trail into votes, he'll, quote, be surprised. We'll all be surprised, he said. You could take that to mean he's being realistic about his spoiler role in the election, I suppose. How many anti-incumbent votes does Charlie Baker need to pull away from Cahill in order to beat Governor Patrick? If Cahill finishes under 4%, does that bode well for Baker, do you think, Todd?
Well, I think so. I think if Cahill ends up with something like 9 or 10%, that would be bad news for Baker. He needs to peel off some of that support. Obviously, he needs the undecideds, if they do vote, to break his way. And mostly, he needs to turn out his base, the 40% of fiscal conservatives out there. I mean, I'd say more than 40% are fiscal conservatives, but his base is 40%. And he hasn't really given them the motivation to turn out, partly because of the blunders that Dan mentions, and partly, you know, he's a new candidate. He hasn't really been able to convey a winning personality, and you know, it's so he really needs in the final days to do what he's been unable to do in recent weeks, and that is to convince, you know, the anti-incumbent majority out there to see him as the alternative, not Cahill, Charlie Baker.
All right.
Well, based on pure instinct, I'd say that the higher Cahill finishes, the worse it is for Baker. A small Cahill vote, say 5-6 points, gives Baker a chance to catch Deval Patrick. Cahill won't lose because he ran as an independent. He'll lose because he didn't explain what his independence stands for. You know, other than immediately building casinos, there wasn't much there for Tim Cahill.
And if Cahill does end up in single digits, that really bodes ill for future independent candidacies.
Either of you expect any of these campaigns to pull anything out of their hats in the 59th minute of the 11th hour this weekend?
I'd say if anybody's going to do anything unexpected, it'll be Baker, because Deval Patrick doesn't want to change the dynamic of the race.
I just don't think that they would have anything. If they had something, they would have brought it out. So I think we'll just hear more of the same slogans and sound bites. Baker will say, you want change? Change governors. And Patrick will say, trust me, we're turning the corner.
Todd Domke, thank you very much.
Good to be with you.
Dan Payne, thank you very much.
Always glad to do it.